Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Steve Artiman here for New Life Live. Hope you're feeling good today. Whether you are or not, hope we can help you in managing those feelings here on New Life. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Steve Artiman here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I just wanted to let you know I do appreciate the hope you give through this program.
My boyfriend and I are both Christians, but he's had affairs the whole time we've been together.
How long is the whole time?
Well, like a year and a half.
How many?
A year and a half he was seeing a married woman the whole time and didn't want to tell me.
How quickly can you call him and tell him it's over?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, so. Well, that comforts me.
But we know that the inside sooner or later comes outside.
That's not the primary issue here.
Steve Artiman here for New Life Live. Glad you've joined us today. And when I say us, I'm talking about Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. John, you doing okay?
I'm doing good, Steve. But I don't know. Look, you're feeling good today. Talk about feelings. Yours look positive.
You know, there's a reason.
Well, is it more than like a medication reason?
It really is.
Real life reason?
I am wearing new Levi's. And last night I went shopping with Madeline, and I got a new pair of Levi's. And
that do something to you?
It does.
It really does.
And you know, people waste all this money on designer jeans and stuff. Can you beat Levi's? I mean, it's just I'm not trying to promote that organization, but I do think that World Vision, if they would like feed these children and get them a pair of Levi's, they would not only be full of food, but they'd have a good attitude about life, because it's just hard to beat a pair of Levi's.
All right, now let's drop down to another thing that might have happened too.
Okay.
What in your mind made you open to the fact that it might be a possible great thing to go get some Levi's? See, you must have been open to this new revelation before that.
Well, Madeline...
Did Madeline just say, Dad, you just don't dress right?
No, the same store where she was getting her clothes had clothes for me, Tilly's. So I thought, well, why not, while she's trying on 15 skirts, maybe Dad could just go over here and try on a couple of pair of Levi's.
Now, see, that's why I don't think the real great thing is the Levi's, though they're great. I think the great thing is that you made yourself, once again, open to new risky experiences.
You know what? She tried on one skirt, and she said, I love this one, Dad. And I said, too short. That is for a shorter girl. You will not be getting that. Oh, Dad. Well, you know what? That was it. She didn't go for it. It went in the not going to buy this pile.
What are y'all talking about? I was getting a peanut butter.
Your life in about 8 years.
I don't wear skirts anymore.
Well, we're glad of that.
But there'll be a day when you'll be the length police. No, she's pretty good about that herself.
Is Madeline trying to wear short skirts?
No, just one was a little short.
Madeline's trying to wear them too short. We're trying to keep our boys from their pants going too far down in the back.
Yeah, right. That's right.
There's a thing called a belt.
Right.
You're also trying to keep them from looking at the short skirts, right?
Thus proving...
I think I'm losing that one.
If it's not one thing, it's another. If it's not the shortness of the skirt, it's the depth of the low back.
You don't want to look like Dan Aykroyd in Saturday Night Live as the plumber coming into your house. You just don't want that look.
You know, you really have to talk to your kids about, look, this is just because the world wears this stuff does not mean it's necessarily acceptable. While at the same time, you don't want to be some kind of prude and they think, well, you know, Dad's old, can't relate, or something like that.
Yeah, there's a medium baggy there we're trying to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Dad couldn't relate when he was young, so, you know, it's not the old
thing. Yeah. Absolutely.
But you teach your kids. I mean, you know, you're a teacher. You're not just a dad. You talk to them about these things.
Well, I think sometimes we have a tendency with teens to think, well, it's almost over, they're not listening anyway. But I had an eighth grade boy come up to me the other day and said, you're the lecture dad. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, when you take us in the van, you're the dad that stops the car and says, this is wrong, talk about it. You're the only one that does that. And I said, is that bad? He said, no, it kind of bugs me, but it's good. So, guys, don't give up. I mean, the kids really, they need somebody to tell them something, especially within a dad position.
Okay, we'll come right back and go to your phone calls after this. Thanks for joining us on New Life Live.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here, Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. Let's go to Susan, who's calling us from Riverside, California, listens to KSGN. Hi, Susan. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I listen to your show every day trying to get new ideas and suggestions on some ways to help me with this problem.
Well, thank you. Glad you do that.
The problem that I'm facing is that my husband and best friend somehow began sharing smutty sexual fantasy emails together.
Mm.
My husband and I are in counseling, and I have decided to continue to honor my part of the marriage vows and try to work this out with my husband.
What's his response once you found out?
We went through a litany of things from it was only one or two emails to, okay, it only happened a couple of times, and yet it was horrible.
Is there music in the background?
Yes, sir.
Is it turnable offable?
Yes, sir. I'll try and turn it down. I was just kind of trying to play it so that they didn't hear me.
Oh, okay. Well, if you have to do that,
don't worry about it.
It's okay.
We'll sing along.
I'm sorry.
I kind of like having a soundtrack to my life, so that's good.
My biggest question is I seem to really have a battle with, I don't know what to do. I don't know what my job is as a wife now. How am I supposed to
do that? Do you ever feel like you got to the truth?
No. I guess there's a part of me that just doesn't understand how this could happen and be so innocent.
Well, that's a different question. You know, did you get to the truth and you just can't relate to it? Or do you feel like you really don't know what the truth is? You see what I'm saying?
It may be that I can't relate because I can't understand it. I mean,
okay.
I can understand the desires and the fantasies. I just don't understand saying that, you know, he wasn't interested in her. It was just the excitement of the emails that he...
You can't conceptually understand how that would happen?
No.
That happens a lot. You know, people who really wouldn't be interested in somebody have this little flirtatious fantasy or something, and it is the excitement of that. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, you know, people that use porn.
Yeah. It's the getting away with.
Yeah. It's the getting away with. It's just the sexualized energy. It's just whatever it is, and he could have absolutely no interest in her. That can be true.
It's like, it's totally sex with that relationship. He could have that happen.
It's the bad news about men that they're able to do it.
He was also doing this with a woman, so it's the bad news about her, too.
Women accept it. So, your question for us is, in the midst of all this,
what does God expect of me as far as my reactions? Am I supposed to put the trash in the trash can and put the lid on it and pick up the pieces and start fresh and put my faith in the Lord that
Well, some things you're saying are great, and some things are we wouldn't agree with.
Yeah, some sound like cliches.
Yeah.
Oh, feel free to stop me.
Okay.
Well, Susan, I don't think you put something alive in the trash can. It's going to start to smell, right?
Yes, sir.
So if you got an alive issue that you hadn't gotten to the bottom of, and it's festering with a lot of mistrust and, you know, hurt feelings and this, that, and the other, I wouldn't just put it in the trash can and, quote, you know, trust in the Lord. I would mm-hmm. trust in the Lord to take me through the valley of the shadow of death of working out the conflict. Trusting in the Lord means not that you just avoid things. It means you take his hand and use his tools and his resources to deal with conflict. So if you believe that it's over and this was all that was done, then what that would mean is that you express your feelings and you grieve the hurt and you forgive him, and you might not trust him immediately. You know, he's got to kind of earn that back, and we would want to see some things on his side, like repentance and sorrow, and, you know. And so that's not to cover it up. That's to deal with it.
You know, I think when you're in a situation like this, you have to be willing to say, okay, I'm going to forgive whatever has happened up to this point. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to nag about it. But in exchange for that gift to the person, you for the relationship to go forward, you would really expect them to do some healing things so you wouldn't
right.
have to bring it up. And you wouldn't be reminded of it because they wouldn't be repeating the infraction because they're doing those healthy things. Your gift to him should be a reciprocal gift back to you.
And that's how you build trust. Does that help?
Yes, sir.
Is he doing that?
He's trying.
You're not being overwhelmed by his efforts, it sounds like.
No, because my reaction is that, you know, I'm done. I want to get away from this other person. Mm. My feelings towards her are just, I'm repulsed by her. I look at her and I see Satan. Not that it's all her fault.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any sort of repentance from her whatsoever.
Wow. And this is your best friend?
Yes, it was.
It's brutal.
Hmm.
I pray to God each day and I ask him that, you know, I choose to forgive her because that's what his word says I need to do.
But Susan,
I don't feel that way.
Well, the Bible has two different ways that we're supposed to address and have a stance with and treat people, but depending on repentance and all that and their lack of it. You do forgive both parties and you work on your own issues, and both parties are supposed to cancel the debt. But with a person that's repentant, you know, you kind of say, you're on the path, this is great, I'm glad you're working and I'm working, and, you know, we're kind of teammates here. And a person that's not, you have a talk with and say, I guess we're on different sides of the page. This really hurt me, and I think if you were on my side and that happened to you, I thought it would hurt you, but maybe if it doesn't, we're best friends, but we see life very, very differently, so I need to kind of rethink us. That's not being unforgiving. It's kind of accepting some realities and give her the idea. You know, what you're doing, you're providing her with the idea that, you know, the relationship is going to have to change.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this call is a great call for a guy to hear who has been messing around on the internet or something to see just how this does leave a woman feeling and try to connect with that. It's the best thing you can do. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we do want to help you. I'm going to send you a copy of Addicted to Love. I think it'll help you understand what Henry was saying, how a person can be energized, animated, all of those things over the other person or the pornography, and it really not personally mean something to them. Let's go to David calling from Pomona. He listens to KKLA. Hi, David. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
I just want to thank you for taking my call. I listen to the show a lot. I have a question. I've been involved in a real heavy sexual sin for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling out that is there a way you can lose your salvation? I've been saved since I was 12.
Hmm.
I've been falling back for the longest time.
Have you come back?
I did, but I'm just keep seeing myself, you know, getting involved in that kind of sin, and it's just, you know, killing me inside.
What are you doing to try to get out of it?
I've been going to my pastor a lot for prayer. Just trying to, you know, avoid that temptation, but it's just so heavy.
Does your pastor know the nature of this?
He doesn't really know the detail about
it. He's praying for you, but he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, and I just feel like I'm...
Does anyone know, David?
No.
Why doesn't somebody with skin on know?
I've just been afraid to tell somebody. I just feel kind of embarrassed, and I just feel like the Lord's punishing me because I've been going through a lot physically, too. The last couple years, I've been sick a lot. Well. I feel like I'm punishing for what I've been going through, the Lord's...
David, can you give us any kind of, way we could know exactly what you're dealing with in a vague sort of way?
Pornography.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
That and sexual morality. I'm not married, but I see myself, going beyond pornography.
Yeah.
Falling to the actual sin.
David, you've asked three or four questions. One is, no, that's not something you lose your salvation over. Okay. It is something that God wants you to be free of.
Exactly.
You don't like the way it feels, to walk around like this, right?
No, I don't.
But it is also something that you're trying to do apart from God's program.
That's right.
And it is not a New Testament program to just kind of, white knuckle it and try to, get over this on your own. And you're just going to have to do what the Bible says. Like James 5:16, for starts, it says, confess your sins to one another. And then all the other ways in which it says that you've got to be connected to a body that brings God's resources to you, and learning to walk in the Spirit moment by moment, and dealing with the deprivation that's inside of you and the emptiness, being separated from the life of God, is the way Ephesians puts it, which is all the good things that He has for you in your life that create this vacuum, that creates the hunger, that creates the lust, that drives you to pornography.
I see.
So you're trying, it's kind of like your house is on fire, and you don't want to call the fire department, but you're going to fight it with a squirt gun.
Yeah.
And we feel for you.
Yeah.
We feel for you. We don't think you're bad. We think you're doing something, trying to do something that's impossible.
Yeah, David, a lot of people do this. They kind of say, since I'm in bondage, but I'm a Christian, therefore I'm not a Christian.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and bondage doesn't mean rejection from God. Bondage just means I haven't reached out for all the good stuff that can fix this.
Yeah.
And really, that's Jesus died so that you'd be free out of the bondage of going to hell and all that, but also the bondage in this life, too, of having habits and behaviors that, you can't control. You can't control this, and you need even more of God's resources now rather than feel like He's left you.
It does send you to hell on earth. You create your own hell, and you live in the middle of it.
We feel for it because we can hear the hell in your voice here. It's horrible.
It is.
And I think, a lot of times we don't stop long enough to really just look at the evil impact of sin, just sin, and what it does. And it creates, the David of the Bible, David, he said, in my silence, my bones waxed old. In other words, he had a few health problems, too, because he was silent. And you're kind of following in his footsteps.
Yeah, that's why I feel like I've never felt so bad inside. I've never felt so sick inside. Like, this is killing me, inside of me. Also, my spiritual soul too. I mean, I'm constantly going to doctors and.
Okay, so given all that and what we've said, what are you going to do?
I'm gonna try my very best to stay away from this. I mean, it just seems
well,
like
that's the opposite. That's the opposite of
what
we just said.
That's continuing to do your same old program.
Wait. What did you hear us say? Because there was a disconnect there, David. Did you hear us say, keep trying harder?
I heard you say that.
You did?
I want to get the tape.
Yeah. David, come on, man. You got to go to the website and play this program over tonight. What we said was, just staying away from it isn't going to work. What we said is you have got to run, not walk, but run to a good support group that deals with this kind of thing, and you're going to find freedom past what you ever imagined.
Exactly.
And you need to get with some people who know how to do this. We're going to send you a copy of Steve's book, Every Man's Battle.
Okay.
And it's going to let you know that you're only one of 8 zillion people who struggle with this. But also, Maybe we can. Are there some Everyman Battles groups in that area, Steve? You don't want to say where it is over the air for his anonymity, but
in March we've got a training out here, so maybe that can be something you'd be part of.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. I really want to attend one of those workshops.
All right, well,
David, you are not alone, buddy.
Yeah, I understand.
So don't go do an alone program.
Okay.
This will take you out of hell. It'll help you create a little heaven here on earth because, you know, we hear all the time guys that have been trapped for years in this, and then they do a few things differently, and they're free. And that's what we want to see happen, a transforming freedom. Anyway, thank you for your phone call. We're going to take a break and come back. Actually, we're going to have a little friend of a little friend. That was a big
tall friend.
Very tall friend. Yeah. John Tesh is going to be on with us here just for a few minutes after this break. He's a friend of New Life Ministries and New Life Live, and we're going to check in with him, see how he's doing, and we'll do that right after this.
This classic program from the archives of New Life Live will be right back after this short break. Today's show has been pre-recorded. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number. And I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
I think I saw that on an infomercial or a PBS special or something. But anyway, that is the music of John Tesh. And John, are you there?
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. I got a chance to run into Steve at an event we were doing in Los Angeles, and I sort of ran you up against the wall.
Well, when you're around, you know, you kind of you just deserve a little respect there because you are one tall guy.
That's why when you were saying a little friend, I was like, I was laughing. I said, I'd like to be a little friend.
Anyway, yeah, when we met, you said you would like to tell our listeners about an experience you had, and of course I was thrilled that you did, so here we are.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was one of those things where, I'll tell you, hopefully this is the short version of the story, but my son is 22, his name is Gib, and I've been playing worship music in my church now for about 9 years as one of the leaders in the church because of him, because he went to this camp, Joe White's camp, Kanaka Christian camp.
Right.
So it's, I have this wonderful relationship with him, and we both ended up reading this book, Wild at Heart, at the same time, and I was on a trip to New York, and what it was about was it was about being a warrior for Christ and just being, you know, men just, you know, getting back to their roots and really not being, you know, these... yeah, exactly. Thank you. Milquetoast guy sitting in church, but going and doing something. So we were at Thanksgiving dinner, and everybody was talking about a family member of ours who's been using crack cocaine for about 14, 15 years. Mm. And they were like, oh, it's horrible. He's going to die. Or, yeah. So I'm like, you know what? What am I doing? I'm such a wimp. So on the trip home, I said to Gib, I said, hey, Gib, let's go. Let's get our swords and let's go. So we, you know, we jumped on a plane, we made this plan, and we flew to Florida, and we just showed up at this family member's house, and we were there for 48 hours, basically in a crack den with automatic weapons and all the rest of this. Now, before we did this, we ended up, we tried to find the, you know, the right place for him to land. And of course, it ended up being, you know, New Life. And so we talked to all the five or six guys in this thing. It was unbelievable because this is just an infomercial from me for New Life because no, seriously.
And
because
you know infomercial.
I do. And I've also, you know, you got to remember, I grew up on the streets of New York City, so I've seen pretty. And as a reporter too at CBS News, I've seen everything, and I've interacted with everybody from, you know, homeless shelters and all the rest of it, all the way up to, addiction programs. We ruined your whole program. We were calling people in the middle of the night, and they were calling us back. And I was outside this guy's house with a cell phone, talking to George and Jeremy and all these guys and at your organization. And they're the ones that made it happen. To make a long story short, we ended up getting this family member out of the house onto a little private plane. It was the only way he would get in this program, and the doctors met us at the plane and just worked this whole thing out. I mean, the sad news is that I think he's using again, but this is the first time in 14 years we were able to get him out and into this program. And they were just amazing. So I wanted to call and come on the program and gush and just say that if anybody out there is thinking that, hey, what am I supporting here with New Life? I mean, we've given this guy. First of all, we gave this guy an opportunity, okay, this family member. The second thing is, this was no father and son picnic for my son and I, but it was an amazing, amazing bonding experience for us.
Well, hopefully that will be a beginning of him getting well, and it sounds like to me it's a big first step, and as we know, for some people it takes several experiences before they finally say, okay, I'm
especially
done
with crack.
Well, here's what he said to us, too, while we were on the plane. He said, he talks like this. He said, you know what? Nobody's ever done this for me.
Hmm.
And that's what, when we were counseled by the folks at New Life, that's what they said was, I said, what am I supposed to do? And what they said was, you need to show up and show them love. Because the word intervention kept coming up, and I'm saying, you know what, this guy, we're not going to be able to drag this guy onto a plane. And they said, no, you need to show up and show love. And we sat there with him, read from the Bible, and talked to him, and it was all counseled through the New Life organization. So I'm such a big fan.
Well, John, we appreciate that, and I know most people, probably many people, know you from Entertainment Tonight. I think you won 6 Emmys when you were on Entertainment Tonight, and we appreciate you telling us about this. It really does. It means a lot to us. Now, you've got your own radio show. Tell us what that's about.
Yeah, it's a show that's on. We call it Music and Intelligence for Your Life, and it's on across the country, mostly on secular radio stations, and we play. Everything from Mercy Me to Billy Joel.
Huh.
But I'm at a time in my life when I want to be you guys. I went through so much stuff in my life, and where I was, I was on TV and did a lot of news, and then ended up landing at Entertainment Tonight. And suddenly, I woke up one day when my daughter was about 4, and I realized that my daughter couldn't watch the program that I was on. And that's how much television has really changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to be involved in something, and that's what this radio show is about. And it's why I applaud you guys. I want to be on something that's useful.
Mm. I think you solved a mystery for a lot of people. A lot of people didn't know why you left Entertainment Tonight. To know that that's the reason, that's
That's a great thing. Hey, listen, got to go to a break. Thanks for being on with us, and we'll come on and do your show with you, and you can be us. So.
I would love it. And you know what? God bless you guys for what you're doing. It's just amazing. Thanks for making my life much easier.
Hey, thank you, John. We really appreciate you. All right, we'll take a break and come back for our second half of New Life Live.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud. And your phone calls here, and let's go to Linda calling from St. Charles, Illinois. WILL is the station she listens to. Hi there, Linda. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
It's interesting. I am your little friend. I'm like not even 5 foot tall, so this is perfect.
You are a little friend.
Yeah, and I got to meet you in St. Charles, so hopefully you have a face to put with it, if you can remember that far back.
Okay, yes.
You and Kenny came.
Oh, and you were that pro? Okay, now I know who you are because I didn't forget you.
Cool.
Well, she is a small person.
Okay, so. Now I've given my identity away.
Okay.
But anyway,
all right.
Just change your question.
I just got a real simple question. Okay. What is my problem? Because I'm especially being at your workshop, I feel like I have the opposite problem of all the other women out there. My husband is like too affectionate to me. I almost feel smothered by him. And I was hoping you could figure out why.
Do you feel like it's more for him than for you?
It's more my problem. I know
no,
that.
No. Listen to the question. Do you feel like the affection is more so that he can get something rather than him giving something? That's what smothered people generally report.
I don't feel that way logically, but I think probably emotionally I kind of respond that way a little bit.
Do you think he's more smothering than the average bear, or that you're oversensitive to?
I'm probably oversensitive, but I think he is.
How do you come up with that answer? Because that's kind of the first thing probably you need to figure out.
Our experience is that most women have a smothering husband who wants to give them flowers and candy and hugs, and
and all those long nights under the stars.
That women are sick of this, and we're glad that you're going to hold the banner, Linda.
Put your foot down, Linda. for all women out there, all those over-romantic husbands.
Well, I wouldn't say romantic. I would just say that. No, he's very sweet, and he's a great husband. Okay. And I just feel like I'm not responding like he needs me to respond.
But we're trying to get an average here. Like, okay. If you compare y'all to others, you know.
Like, who's got the problem, you or him?
Me.
No, but you say that so quickly. I want to make sure that, like, if we canvassed, you know, 10 of your friends, that they'd say, oh.
That would drive me nuts, too.
Linda's husband, oh, he's no more affectionate than my husband. I don't know what she's talking about. Or would they say, yeah, he kind of comes on strong? What would they say?
They'd say I have the problem, because I think they'd want to be in my shoes. I mean, he's just...
No.
Is he like every other
normal husband? Is he more affectionate than more men in the norm?
I would think a little bit more, yeah. I mean, that seems to be something he needs, and...
Okay, let's try to get it at a different angle. Take us through a day, Linda. Take us through a day. An extreme would be, he gets up in the morning, he gives you a bear hug, and he doesn't let go until midnight that night. He doesn't go to work. He never gets dressed. He can't give you space enough even to go to the bathroom. All right? That's one extreme.
That's a 10.
The other extreme was, you know, he sends you an email every 6 months. So give us a feeling for what does life look like in the house of this guy, or in life?
Because you're really protective of him and of saying bad things, so we're really not getting reality, I don't think.
Yeah, I have a hard time explaining that.
He's a sweet guy, but tell us the range here.
What I would say he's just affectionate. I mean, he comes
that
home,
doesn't
he gives
help
me,
us.
I know. He gives me a hug, he calls, he's involved, he's...
He calls you how many times a day?
When he can, once. I mean, once or twice, if there's, or I call him. It's not that.
So one hug and one call a day does not smothering make. But do you feel smothered by that? Is that what
there's something else?
What else is there?
There's something else, Linda.
Yeah, it's when we're together and I feel like, you know, I have to take care of him and I
make that specific.
Well, physical love. I mean, sex, I guess.
So we're talking about sex?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know what sex is?
I don't think I know what that is.
I can only recognize it when I see it. Yeah. So, Linda,
I guess I don't feel the passion that he feels, and I guess I even feel a little resentful of that, because I would love to feel that in love all the time. Mm-hmm.
How often does he want sex? Want sex with you?
He could take it every day. I mean, it's not unhealthy. It's just, you know... It's not like he's a sex maniac or anything like that.
Well, but we still don't quite understand.
We really don't get the question.
Is it that he's making too many moves towards you, or what?
I just feel like I can't respond to him when he's being affectionate.
Because of the way he is affectionate?
No, just because I don't feel like I got it in me.
Do you feel any sexual desire for him at all?
Not really. I mean,
okay.
So you're
now we're somewhere.
Yeah, you've kind of,
took a while to get there.
Feelings have died a bit, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Did you have them at one time?
Yes, very early on.
And what happened?
Reality, I guess. I don't know. You know, just kind of that infatuation stage. Kind of died out. I wasn't drawn from him to him physically in the first place. It was kind of more, you know, we became best friends, and which made a great marriage. But I think
sounds like it. I mean, you know, Linda, it's this big hole in the relationship, and you're trying to make the best of something, but it's a big problem. And I don't see you being able to work in the problem, because you can't identify that. You know, it's
just
a reality that you don't feel sexually attracted and romantically attracted towards him, and now you got something to work on.
And let me ask you this: when he's expecting to have sex with you, do you feel like, because it's so unpleasurable to you, or you don't feel things for him, that you're going to suffocate, or you're trapped, or you're hopeless in this? Is that what this is about?
I guess it's just hard to I could care less. You know, I'm totally indifferent.
Linda, does he know this?
Yeah, we've talked about it a lot.
You've been direct with him?
Yeah.
And
I told him back off a little bit, but he can't.
Linda, you've told us that you have a very difficult time even generating any sexual feelings for him at all. Does he know that?
Yes.
Okay, and what's his response?
It's sad. I mean, when he feels so strongly one way and I'm the opposite
angle. So you guys have got a problem, but you don't know what to do about it.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Linda, let me try to get a little different slant answer from you here. Do you think that you would want to have sex with him if it was different?
No.
In other words, if there's something about the way that it happens that you don't like?
No, that's not it. I think I'm just emotionally not there.
Are you attracted?
Okay.
But could you feel attractions to other men? I mean, in your life and stuff? In other words, are you like a non-sexual person in all areas now? Or is it
basically what it feels like? Yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm looking at anybody else.
Okay, so it's a part of you that's kind of cut off.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right. Now we're getting somewhere. Now, how did that happen? Why, if we said, Linda, why do you have this loss of sexual desire in your life?
That would be a really good question. I have no idea, and I think it's something I struggle with most of our marriage.
What is the biggest disappointment that the marriage has been for you or in him?
I think just that I don't feel those connected moments. You know, I mean, it's hard to explain because logically I am. I mean, he's everything I would want, and I would want him to be this way if I wasn't me.
Let me give you kind of a diagnostic tree here. There are people that have loss of sexual desire because of things that are going on inside of them, and it wouldn't matter who they're with. And sometimes that's because there's like some kind of, you know, abuse in their past. For example, they've been traumatized sexually, and so they just detach from all sexual responsiveness. Sometimes it's because they're depressed. Sometimes it's because they have other stuff, you know, other injuries, issues with trust, issues sometimes with control. Feeling controlled by other people will cause a shutdown sexually. And Linda would have this problem no matter who she was married to. Okay?
Right.
There's other sexual dysfunction that comes from in the dynamic of a relationship outside of the bedroom. That there are, you know, ways that you might feel controlled or don't have your space or he's dependent or other things that cause a shutdown.
I would say it's definitely more the first. It would be...
So how would you diagnose what caused this in Linda?
I know I went through depression for a while there and, you know, feeling really disconnected and angry that he could get excited about life and I couldn't. Hmm.
Okay. Well, our advice then would be to see that as a problem and go get your detachment and your depression treated and talk to somebody who understands those things and see if that helps. And if it doesn't, then you work on the relational side.
This classic program from the archives of New Life Live will be right back after this short break. Today's show has been pre-recorded. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Max Licato. You know, I've been a pastor for 3 decades, and I've seen people run to different things for comfort when they're hurting. Some run to drugs, some to alcohol, some folks go shopping, some gamble their money away, some folks turn to sex, yet others turn to food. If food is something you've chosen as your drug of choice and you'd like to break that habit, that obsession, that addiction, whatever you want to call it, the good folks at New Life can help you. They have a weight loss weekend coming up. And you ought to look into it. There's no reason to let weight define who you are. Get your health back. You know, you're a child of God. He has something better in store for you than living and hiding behind your weight problem. Call 800-NEW-LIFE today. Right now, ask them about the New Life Weight Loss Weekend. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or just check it out online at newlife.com. It could change your life.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. Now back to the boys.
All right. Hey, let me tell you about on the 4th of December, in Denver, December the 4th, every man's battle. Well, that's pretty cool. And don't forget our ultimate intimacy intensive workshop. Francis Chan kicks that off February the 12th. Marilyn Meeberg's going to be there. Jason and Shelley Martinkus. But the heavy lifting's going to be done by Mylon and Kay, and we're going to look at all levels of intimacy. I'll be in Hartford, Connecticut this weekend with Women of Faith. Would love to meet you and see you there. So rewarding. I wish you people that support this ministry could hear the stories I hear every weekend at Women of Faith. Women that have been blessed by this ministry. Okay. Quick note before we go to the next call. There is a very cool, awesome new look at tv.newlife.com. Very cool. It's faster. It's easier to navigate. You can see even more great stuff. There's a New Life app that you can get through iTunes. Go to tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You get 2 weeks free. And not only that, though, type in Radio 50. And you get it half price. We're going to do that through the end of the year. Pretty exciting. Radio 50. Half price. About $5 a month.
Wow.
You get all these brand new things coming on there. There are some new entries from the 21 toxic beliefs that I've been doing. You may be acting out. Hey, a guy at the weekend said, hey, my wife wanted me to tell you. Thanks. For saving our lives, we were in a cult, and she read Toxic Faith. Oh, I love hearing that. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to our final caller. Let's talk to Christy. She's calling from Atlanta, listens to WNIV. Hi, Christy. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
I'm calling. I'm looking for some type of direction, of some type of help. I've had a weight problem now for several years. I've been treated for depression for the last 5 to 6 years, and I'm now currently on medication and have been. I've been recently in therapy and even in treatment for food addiction, mainly sugar addiction.
Treatment meaning inpatient?
No, outpatient.
So what's the difference between therapy and treatment?
Well, therapy meaning with a... just with a therapist, and then going to a center for
where they specialize in it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I have had just I haven't had much success, and I'm back in the vicious cycle that I always go through, and I feel that I'm just turning everywhere for. Help to feel whatever this need is that I'm trying so desperately to feel. If it's not with food, then I have found myself going to other things, which I'm scared, and I just don't know what to do.
Hmm. What kind of medication are you on?
I am on Lexapro.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm also on Wellbutrin.
Mm. Okay. Christy, who is running this with you? Who is in charge of you getting well, besides yourself and God and all that? But what expert would you say is the person that kind of is the quarterback?
Right now, I really don't know. I'm not seeing a therapist any longer because it came to the point to where I didn't feel like I could go on any longer.
What do you mean?
Well, it seemed like the person I was seeing wanted to deal mainly with my family history and my past. And I didn't feel that I could go down that road doing the things that she, saying the things that she thought that I needed to say, face the things that she thought that I needed to face.
What do you mean? To do what things or say what things?
To say things about my past, my family, and things that might have gone on and happened to me.
And you couldn't do that because it was too painful or it felt disloyal or what?
Exactly. It felt disloyal.
Mm.
Yes.
So are you aware of hurtful things you're walking around with inside, but it feels disloyal to talk about them?
Exactly.
Oh, Christy, that's hard. Now, all healing doesn't come from, you know, just unearthing things that have happened in the past, and we don't know your whole story, but oftentimes when there is some sort of a compulsion or addiction or whatever, what it means is that things are unresolved inside your soul. And the message of the Bible is not that it is disloyal to talk about hurt or woundedness or this, that, and the other. In fact, that's the message that comes out loud and clear with the Bible, is that because of forgiveness, we can clear up the past.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have been hurt and you're walking around with those wounds and there's a rule inside, you can't talk about things that hurt you, you know, because you're supposed to be loyal. That's not from God.
Mm.
God says that we bring things into the light and we grieve them and you let other people support you and heal you. And that doesn't mean in any way that you don't love or forgive or are for anybody that's ever hurt you. It does mean that God loves and forgives and heals and is for you, mm-hmm. and wants to heal the things, the wounds that other people may have put there.
Okay.
And that's an okay thing. So if that's what's keeping you hopeless and kind of like you're painting it into a corner, we'd like to see you be released from that corner, because our God is a God of the light, and he says expose the things that are in the darkness, bring them to the light. And Ephesians 5 says that when they are brought to the light, they become light. So that's not disloyal. That's right.
You know, and just the things that you've done, you've really treated that food addiction and sugar addiction. And, you know, we talk about people that in Lose It for Life that just really do need to stop carrying the weight of other people around with them. And I just have to believe that therapist, there was a reason for her to tell you that this is where your focus needs to be, because if you can resolve that emptiness that's there, those unresolved things, then it is going to lower your appetite so that mm-hmm. The other things that you put in place really do have a chance to work and make a difference in your life.
Okay.
And I'm really glad you called us, and boy, I you know,
if you need a referral in that area,
yeah, just hold
maybe
on.
Maybe the call center can help.
And
you.
Also, we'll tell you about Lose It for Life, because Lose It for Life isn't learning about a diet. It's really resolving things like this and changing everything. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Christy, we'd like also. I'm going to send you a copy of Changes That Heal, because actually, when I wrote that book, I was working with so many people with eating disorders.
Mm.
And a lot of the examples I think you can relate to in there, because there are people with eating problems. But the issues you'll find in there are going to help you, I think, understand spiritually what needs to be resolved to get this on track.
I'll tell you, it's a book. It's better than a tea bag with a stick on it versus a string. I guarantee you that. So you call
string
us.
Never worked, does it?
Yeah, you know, it's not helpful. You know, we really do care about you, and we know that many of you are struggling, and you need someone to come alongside you. And if that is the case, then call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There are people standing by the phones 24 hours a day. Actually, they're sitting by the phone, not standing. And they really do want to help you in all the things that you deal with. So call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll see you here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the Archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.